thank you, Brother Gall. Boy, real freedom's in Jesus. Amen. All right. Thank you. I've enjoyed the song service this morning. I think it's good once in a while to push the reset button about how God has blessed our country and who we are. Amen. I want you to go to the first book in the Bible. I want you to go to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 19. A little bit of an unusual spot, perhaps, for 4th of July type message. I'm not sure that is the type message I've got, but we'll see. Genesis chapter 19, I'm going to read about 11 verses of a story that happened a long time ago, but very true. And I'm going to talk to you on the subject, appeasement don't work. Appeasement don't work. My mother should have been a psychiatrist. She was smarter than most anybody I knew far as knowing how to manipulate and make us kids do what she wanted us to do. One of the stories she told me that I never got over, and I think this was because not too far away was the woods. And we little boys were not supposed to wander off into the woods. So she told us this story about the fellow that running through the woods and the panther got after him. Now, in the old days, panthers didn't have collars on and were not endangered species. You understand that? But anyway, the panther was chasing the man. Man tried to appease the panther by pulling off his coat and throwing it to him. But the panther just tore up the coat and kept coming. Then he pulled off his shirt and he threw that to him. Same thing. Then he pulled off his shoes, but the panther would just pause for a minute and tear them up and keep coming. You say, what's the point? The point was we kids didn't go to the woods. Truth of the matter is, the man couldn't appease the panther. Look at it and see what I'm talking about here in the text as we read the story of Lot down in Sodom. Chapter 19 of the book of Genesis. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. That had been the commission meeting. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, unto your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. Now, I could make all kind of observations here. Number one, they rather sleep on the street than to sleep in that fellow's house. So he'd fallen pretty low, hadn't he? And he pressed upon them, verse 3, greatly. And they turned into him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat unleavened bread. He knew where they were. Abraham had already met before the face of God, you remember, trying to spare the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot here was a backslidden believer. He knew who they were. It says in verse 4, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, whole crowd turned out. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that's a sexual term. Relationship, even a marriage relationship, speaks of Abraham knowing his wife and so forth. Verse 6, and Lot went out at the front unto them, out the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray ye, brethren, do not so wickedly. It was wickedness. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. What a terrible thing. Only unto these men do nothing. I think about this. Lot was pretty embarrassed when the Lord showed up at his house. Wonder how we'd be. Showed up at ours. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Now he's quoting a little hospitality rule there. Verse 9, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow, speaking of Lot, came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed upon the man, on Lot, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them. And here's an old southern term, shut to the door. It's biblical. Verse 11, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Now, so much we could say on this portion. I will say some things about it, but I want you to notice Lot tried to appease them, didn't he? Tried to appease the mob. Now, these were wicked men. Lot said so. He knew what they had planned. By the way, it tells you what the angels were. They were young men. They were not young women. And as we look at the whole story here, as he tried to appease this mob, it was wickedness they had planned. There's a book called the Book of Jasher. It's the book of the, that's, you find mentioned in the Bible, mentioned in the book of Joshua, mentioned a couple of times even in the New Testament. Paul must have read it because he knew the names of Jannes and Jambres, the magicians that stood before Moses. But anyway, the book of Joshua is an old book. It's not a Bible book, but it's a very pretty much authentic history book and is referred to. And the book of Joshua goes into the great wickedness that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. I heard a preacher say the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was inhospitality. That's a lie. It was sodomy. It was homosexuality. It was filth. It was gore. God called it an abomination. That's what it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. And as we think about this and Lot trying to appease this wicked groove, I think about it as we get to the 4th of July and who in the world would have ever thought the 4th would have come when it would become under attack like it has now. It is amazing what has happened. But I want to say the answer to it is not appeasement. You know, the good side of our fallen nature is we will bend over backwards. We will go the second mile. We will do everything we can. We'll give and give and give to try to have peace. But folks, there's a time a line has to be drawn. Only so much. I look right here and I think about what's going on today and trying to appease the mobs we see in the streets of our big cities. You know, they brought them food and drink out there while they were taking 7 blocks out of Minneapolis, claiming it as their own. Really crazy. Taxpayer money, we even brought the barricades out there for them to use and all of that. And worse than that, I couldn't believe it when I heard it. So absurd, we're going to get rid of the police. Not only defund them, but get rid of them. Surrender property to them. That's trying to appease the mob. That's throwing your coat to the panther. He's going to keep coming. He's going to keep charging after you. We look around and see this sort of stuff, the tearing down of our monuments. Not only Civil War monuments. They're trying to use that for an excuse, but they got a little bit mixed up and start tearing them all down. Do you know they're even offended by John Wayne's? Yeah, we were singing a while ago about the flag and patriotic and all of that, and yet they're going after that. They're going after the national anthem, all of that business, and Scott Key that wrote it, tearing his monument down, and all of that business. I'm saying to you, the answer here, you can't appease the mobs. And Lot found out he couldn't either, and the president predicted this. Actually, before all this stuff started happening, he said, they'll keep coming after the monuments till they arrive at your front door. Now, that's what he said. I thought about it the other night when I saw on TV that family standing outside their house with the woman with a pistol and the man with an AK-47. By the way, that did discourage them, didn't it? And our Second Amendment still discourages them. They'd like to get rid of it with the police also. But I thought about that. I was going to follow up on it. I didn't have a chance much last night. But the next night, they said that they were still there. They had called for the law, but the law couldn't come. St. Louis is where it was. Couldn't come in. And the man said, while I was eating supper, I looked out the window and saw them tear out. It was a gated community. And they destroyed the property by tearing the gate off and coming in front of his house and hollering they were going to burn it down and all of that business. And thank God he did go out there with a gun. But here's what I wonder is, where was his neighbors and friends? I believe in Polk County, we'd just get a better rally than that. I'll be honest with you, I'd go. The truth of the matter is, we all ought to go when it happens to the neighbor like that. Amen. But that's where it's heading down to. That's where it's going to come to, unless we get a stronger hand in the leadership. Trump has done what he could do in spite of the liberal mayors and all the liberal politicians up there. Let me tell you, do y'all understand this deep scientific term, the cat's out of the bag? You get that? That's not Greek. You get that? Cat's out of the bag. It's not the Civil War monuments they're after. It's America they're after. It's to destroy this country. It's to pull it apart. It's to destroy it. It's to replace it. It'll start with socialism, but it'll lead very quickly to dictatorship. And the Antichrist kingdom is right behind the curtain, waiting to step out. Right now is what's going on. Oh, yeah. It'll come to the door. See, that's always been the Marxist tactic. Always bring them out on the deceive them on the promise. You're going to get more. Take what you want. Loot, and we'll rob the rich folks. That's the way dictators always come in. Study about how it happened in Russia. Study about all the other nations. You'll find out that it's a dirty trick, and it'll defeat the greatest country in the world and take our freedoms away if we keep trying to appease that crowd. It'll do that. I want to say this, you never can. There's a principle. You never can appease evil. That's not the answer. In the text, the Sodomites kept pressing, didn't they? I mean, look what Lot said. What a despicable thing. I'll give you my daughters, anything but let these men alone. He was going to appease them. What a terrible thing. By the way, Lot was saved. You'll see him in heaven. But my, what a shame. What a shame. Terrible thing. The Sodomites, the evil. You read through the Bible. If you got a King James Bible, you'll read the word Sodomites. You won't read that in the NIV, New International, or the non-inspired version, I call it. You won't read it there, because you see, on that translating committee was a lady by the name of Virginia Mollenkott, and she was a Sodomite herself. She was a lesbian. And the truth of the matter is, this was an evil that God warned against and judged in the Bible. And you see, here's the way it moves. It's the Panther story again. Just tolerate us. Just let us alone. That's the way it started. But now it is you accept us. Now it is not only give us our rights, but we got superior rights. Now you condone us, you elevate us, you pick us up, and you put us on in first place. And that's where it's going. Did you remember seeing the White House painted in rainbow colors when the Congress said it was all right for perverts to marry? Remember? You do remember? I saw this week. I thought, what a contrast. The White House was lit up in red, white, and blue. The flag. What a comparison to the rainbow flag of the homosexuals. Did you see where Vladimir Putin was mocking us, rightfully so, because our embassy in Moscow ran up the transgender flag recently? Yeah, he mocked. He said, that tells us a lot about the folks inside that building. He's dead right. It tells us a lot about the people that in America, in our government, that would allow that and promote that to run up the LGBT or whatever XYZ crowd out there. It's crazy. But Yeah, he had a right to mock. No doubt about it. Let me say, folks, you say you're too hard on that. That's exactly what's happening in our churches, is that kind of liberal thinking right there. Let me tell you how it works. Time out. Tell you how it works. Here's the way it works. Preacher rares against it, speaks against it, and he's just hard. No, he didn't write the Bible. He's telling you what the Bible has to say about it. But here's the way it moves into our churches. Here's the way the Laodicean church of our last day accepts this thing. But I know some clean, at least when I see them, they're clean, homosexuals. They're nice folks. They pay their bills. They're good people. And I socially begin to accept them. Now, don't kid yourself, that's going to affect your doctrine. So you're going to be against the preacher that says, "Thus saith the Lord, it's an abomination." See how that works? But you need to see them in their dirty, filthy acts. You'll find out why God hates it. It's a filthy business. It's a gross business. And most young people don't even understand how gross it is. And while we worry about the virus, the COVID coming around, how about the AIDS virus that's never had a vaccine for it? A lot of big money been spent on it. But if you want to go back, you'll find out that was a social so-called disease that should never have been. Because God allowed that sort of stuff. Be sure your sin will find you out. It has that abomination in it that promotes this dirty virus that's killed more people than this virus will ever kill. Oh, I could get on that a long time. I'm just saying, you don't appease evil. You don't appease evil. We don't condone this stuff. It's if you do, it'll grow. Haven't we seen that? Aren't we seeing that? That it just grows and grows and grows. Right. That's the way evil always works. Any school kid can tell you when he lets the bully take his lunch money the first time, it won't be the last time. And the bullying will keep growing. And as we get bullied in America, we're going to see it growing. We're not going to appease that crowd. It's going to continue to grow. And all the way from bullying on the schoolroom to a bureaucracy in government that comes down and chokes us to death with rules and regulations, you can't appease them. I've had that fight lots of times. You know that. You know that. I think about Proverbs 30, I believe it is, where it talks about the horse leech. Now, we call it the horse fly today. Say, I don't know what that is. Go out to youth camp a while. Some of them out there big enough to put a saddle on sometimes. All joking aside, what is a horse leech? He's a bloodsucker. And the Bible says about a horse leech that he's got daughters that cry, give, 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 never satisfied, more and more and more, give me some more. And I found out through the years where the bureaucracy got power, it wanted more power. Where it brought in rules, it wanted to bring in stupid rules. Oh, I shouldn't say this, but I want to hear it. I remember the early years here when I had an inspector from one of the bureaucracies come by. And he wanted to walk around and look. Kevin, you probably remember this. Walked into our little original restroom over here when I came. We only had two stools on the property. And those two stools. Well, I was kind of proud. We'd fixed up the restrooms a little bit and painted them up and put new equipment in them. Part of that new equipment was a nice, pretty white commode. Now, you need to look that up in the dictionary if you don't know what it is. And that inspector come by, and I was, you know, I thought, this is great. Then he said this to me. He said, that stool top will have to be changed. I said, well, why? I just bought it brand new. He said it needs to be a split stool instead of just a round one. Now, I'm a pretty peace-loving guy, but you can cross the line with me. And I felt something coming up my backbone and getting up in the back of my head. I think it's righteous indignation. Later on, the doctor might call it high blood pressure. I don't know. But I said this. I looked right at him. I said, man, that can't be illegal. We just bought it brand new from the store. He said, you have to change it. I looked at him and I said, I hope you hold your breath till I do. He's still holding his breath. He'd been dead a long time. But on purpose, that stool is still over there. Go over and look. There's just a time I'm going to draw a line. I'm not going to have any more of it. And the more you give to a bully, and the more you let them assume power, and the more rights they take away, the more rights you're going to lose. And that's exactly what is going on in our country today. Yeah, we'll defund the police. Now we don't want them at all, right? That's the way it works. Give me a little, I'll take a little bit more. You're not going to pacify me. I'm chasing you right on. I got your coat, and I got your shirt, and I'm going to get you. And that's the way evil always works. You can't pacify evil. In Chicago, remember how the old days, I guess Al Capone and other days, they went around to the businesses, and the business paid them protection. I heard a joke about that. Said the thug come in the business and said, want the payment, and protection payment. And the owner said, well, what are you protecting me from? He said, I'm protecting you from a herd of elephants coming through here. And the owner said, well, that's never happened. He said, see there, it's working. Now, that's just about how stupid we are when we keep appeasing evil over and over and over again. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. You say, well, preacher, what's the answer? The Bible's got the answer. Bible says we're to resist evil. Says we're to resist the devil. It'll flee from us. Amen? Resist evil. See, in the text here, these angels started resisting. Oh, listen, they had the power all the time. Listen to me, God's got the power all the time. He can act whenever he wants to act. And when the timing gets right, he is going to act. In the meantime, you and I to contend for the faith, contend for the truth, contend for our freedom, and contend against evil instead of appeasing evil. The angels acted. I heard the president's speech the other night out there at Mount Rushmore. He said, you're not going to touch this place. He also pointed out once he made the executive order that they could go to jail 10 years for tearing down a statue, he said it suddenly stopped, drew a line, resisted back, pushed back. That's the way it ought to be. You know, truth of the matter is, America's a little late on drawing a line. We better draw it. I'm going to try to draw at it the next election because I believe I can't imagine surrendering anymore. I can't imagine. Listen, help yourself. You in the building, they haven't voted me out yet. And until they do, I'm going to preach like I want to, like I feel like God wants me to. Amen? And I want to say to you, you get Sleepy Joe in there. He's a Trojan horse. He's a proxy. And you ride that Trojan horse into the White House, it's going to open up the trap door, and out's going to come Schumer and Nancy and all the worst liberals and the socialists that followed Bernie Sanders and all the rest of it. I know I'm on radio, but I'm getting close enough it don't matter. I'm just simply saying to you, we better push back. We better draw a line. You can't pacify evil. Some of you visitors, you don't know what to think. Just be real quiet and you can sneak out of here in a minute. Folks that stay here a lot and still put up with me, they hear this pretty regular. Pretty regular. I'm just wanting to say to you, I'm going on a principle here. Did it work out for Lot? No, it didn't. No, it didn't. Those girls he offered later on, you see how he'd raised them. And the bad results that come. You have to read your Bible to find out more about that. But I want to say to you, we can't pacify evil. I want to say to some of you listening to me right now, you're unsaved. You know why you're unsaved? You've tried to pacify your conscience for a long time. First time you heard the gospel, you got a conviction you ought to be saved. First time you heard that God loved you while you were yet a sinner and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for you, from that time on, you've never been able to get away from it, but you've been trying to appease that nagging conviction, that nagging conscience. You've tried it by going to church a little bit, Maybe even tried it. Might even got so bold as even get baptized. But you know, you're still appeasing. You have not sold out to the Lord. You have not truly trusted Christ as your Savior. Or you've tried being good. You've maybe gone here or there. And all you're doing is trying to appease a nagging conscience. Tried to sear it over, but it's still bothering you. No, you can't appease the devil. You can't appease evil. And you can't. It is evil for you to reject the Lord Jesus Christ and try to find a substitute some other way, just to get out from under a hurting conscience. You know, a man that's ever heard the gospel clear will never forget it. He may not accept it, but he'll never forget it. And his conscience will hurt him about it. And I want to tell you something else. It'll still hurt you when you get to hell. Yeah. A big part of the torment of hell, other than the fire, is going to be you could have received Christ. You could have been saved. You did have the opportunity. You did hear. You did have people praying for you. You did have people telling you how you could trust Christ and be saved. But you found a substitute to appease with and let it go. And now it'll be too late. You see, no second chance. I said that in Sunday school this morning. No second chance. Whatever substitute you've put in the place of receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never appease that conviction until you come to Him and trust Him and realize He paid for every sin you've ever committed, ever thought of committing. He paid for it all, and He offers you salvation as a gift. Nothing else will take the place of that. Nothing else. I've, as a preacher through the years, talked to many folks about their soul. You know what Jesus said? He said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And then He says this, "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now that's a good question. What have you substituted in exchange? In exchange. I remember one time in First Country Church, our first church in the country I pastored, I remember stopping by a man's house and talking to him and giving him the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could see that I thought conviction, but he'd say no. And I stopped by more than one time because in that particular neighborhood I would go visiting. And each time he'd still tell me no. Some time went on, summer came, summer passed. And he was a school teacher, by the way, and school was starting up. And he was back, and I knocked on his door again and said, "Hey, how'd your vacation go?" He said, "Oh, great." He said, I said, "Did you ever get settled about receiving the Lord and being saved?" He said, "Oh, I got that fixed." I said, "Okay, tell me about it." He said, "Well, you see, I went home." Home was Greece. He was a Greek. He went home to Greece. He said, "I got that fixed." I said, "Well, tell me how you did." He said, "I went and talked to the church, and they said they'd fix it for me. So help me God, with my hand on my Bible." I said, "That's what you trust in? You turned your soul over to the church, and they're going to take care of it?" "Yes, that's right. They said they'd take care of it." See what he was doing? He was appeasing his conviction. Sad. I ask you today in Radio Land or here in the building, what are you doing? Are you trying to appease, or are you facing the truth? Old Lot here tried to appease. It didn't work. It turned out real, real bad. And any time you try to appease evil, appease doing wrong, it'll turn out bad. And you can't do any more wrong than rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ that loved you and died for you. I ask you today, I challenge you today, face up to the truth. You can't have a substitute. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by me." Have you come to Him? No way you're going to the Father without Him. No way you're going into heaven without Him. No substitute. You can appease your mind if you want to with a false cult, ism, doctrine. But Jesus is the only way. Do you know Him as Savior today? I pray you do. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Let's stand quietly. Father, we commit the invitation to you. Lord, there might be somebody in listening reach of my voice today that's appeasing their very soul, trying to cover up, trying to dodge, trying to do anything but the right thing. I pray for them right now. I pray in the midst of our building here that not one would reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Try to get something else to take that nagging conviction out of their very mind. And they've tried everything else. I pray today, Father, they'd surrender to you and come to the Lord Jesus and say, I am a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me in Jesus' name. I trust him for what he done on the cross for me. I pray you'd bless the invitation, Father, that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. On this 4th of July, I pray for our country. I pray we'd get out of this mode of appeasing evil and get back and enthrone truth in our nation. But Father, I pray for the person, the individual, in the sound of my voice today that needs to come clean and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. For I ask it in his precious name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. If you'll come receive Christ, join the church, whatever God's asked you to do, will you come? As we sing, will you come?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.
How about you this morning? Will you come? Will you come?
And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot. To thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Invitation's still open. Maybe the Lord's speaking to you about moving a membership. Maybe you've been saved and never baptized. Most of all, be sure you're saved. That's first. That's first. Heard the testimony recently of a lady I went to school with a long, long time ago, going to her pastor and saying, I want to make sure that my salvation is on the right side of my baptism. You know what she meant by that? To get baptized and not get saved is wrong. It don't work. You just got ducked. You get saved, then you get baptized. That's God's plan. She didn't have peace about that, so she got it right. Thought that was a good testimony to do that. I don't know how long she wrestled with that. I've seen people wrestle with something that was bothering them a long, long time. Boy, it's great peace when they get it right. When they get it right. The Bible talks about our conscience being seared as with a hot iron. What that means is it kind of has scar tissue on it. Kind of gets to where you don't feel the sensitive touch that you used to feel. The old Indian, supposedly, missionary tales, described what conscience is. He said, it's a square box inside your round conscience. And he says, when your conscience hurts, that box is turned around and the edge has bumped into the circle. But then he said, if it turns enough, it'll wear down to where you don't feel it. I thought that's a pretty good description. Pretty good description of what happens. Wonder how many folks have worn the edge off where they don't feel it anymore. Sadly, in our nation today, we've seen so many shocking things that we're not shocked much anymore. That's not God's plan, for sure. Holy Spirit of God works in our heart, works in our conscience. And there's a great peace that comes from surrendering to Him. We lay our head on the pillow at night and have the peace that it takes to know that if God called me during the night, heaven would be my home. Nothing beats that. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Burt to lead us in one more course of invitation. This will be all.
Just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches feeling of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
All right, thank you. Some folks are being dealt with over here, but apparently it's a little more complicated, so we can't share with you. We'll share with you later as we get the chance and have time. We appreciate your prayers for them, whether they come to get saved or whatever else, we don't know yet. Let me encourage you to come back tonight. You say, preacher, don't you know it's 4th of July? Yeah, I wonder if we're a little hypocritical sometime when we praise the Lord for the good nation and freedom He's given us, but we'd praise Him better around the barbecue pit than we can in the house of God. See what I'm talking about? Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and be dismissed. Brother Perkins, you want to dismiss us, please? Wait just a minute. You got anything to share with me?
Mr. and Mrs. Ambrose, a trusted Christ as Savior.
All right. Well, good. Good. Can you send them up here and stand them up here and let the crowd see them? Ambrose, is that the name? Well, that's good. So these folks received Christ as their Savior. All right. We're very proud for you. Congratulations. Best day in your life, I'll guarantee you. Amen. All right. We have a motion to receive them. As if they want to follow the Lord in baptism, we'll talk with them about that a little bit later. Just stand up here, folks, and give you a chance to come by and congratulate them and praise God with them for being saved. Amen. Brother Perkins.
Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We do thank you for the day. We thank you for the message that we heard this morning. Father, we do thank you for America the Great. Father, we know it's still great. We know it's still under you. And Father, we thank you for that. And Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you for this couple that's given their life to you today, Lord. And Father, we ask that you bless them in their growth. And Lord, as we be dismissed this morning, we pray that you'll take us home safe, bring us back safe tonight. We love you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.